certainly realizing that the Lord thinks of us, considers us to be significant, considers us to be valuable to the extent that he thinks of us. I want you to turn just for one moment to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. This concept is articulated in this particular passage, which says a lot about how God regards us. Starting with verse number 1. O Lord our God, or O Lord our Lord, rather, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glories above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy fingers. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Certainly, as people who are made in the image of God, people who are highly valued by God, it should be reassuring and it should be consoling for us to know that the Lord thinks of us, that the Lord focuses his kind attention upon us. I'm glad when friends think of me. I'm glad when siblings think of me. I'm glad when my wife thinks of me. And she tells me frequently that she thinks of me often, bless her heart, and that she prays for me frequently. Because I ask her sometimes, I say, pray for me. She said, I always pray for you. That means that she thinks I'm worth something. She thinks I count. She thinks that I am a person of worth, a person of value, a person of significance. I trust that my daughter thinks of me. I believe that she does. I trust that the elders and the deacons here think of me. And I trust that they are praying for me. I believe they are. And I trust that you also think of me and pray for me. I try to have a proper and healthy concept of me. But I'm just so glad that not only do many others think of me, but I'm just delighted that thou thinkest, Lord, of me. When we think about our value and our position in the order of God's creation, it should encourage us to know that right now we have been created and we are a little lower than the angels. I don't know exactly how lower, but I do know that we are a little lower than the angels. And I do recognize that the angels have an intense interest in our spiritual welfare. The angels are very much concerned about our fates, about our destinies as a corporate body of God's people, as well as individuals. The Bible says there is rejoicing of the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Do you want to make heaven rejoice? Do you want to make the angels rejoice? You can do that this evening. You know, you have a powerful influence to exert a powerful impact upon even the angels in heaven, because they are peering with intense interest at you. And they are concerned about you if you're in sin. They are concerned about you if you need to reform your life. They are concerned about you if you need to repent. And God is commensurately and preeminently concerned. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Appreciate the song service led by Brother Daniel, and I am particularly grateful that he led us in Thou Thinkest, Lord, of Me. Turn to the scripture lesson that was read. 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 26 through 30. And all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldeans, that is, the Babylonians. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. Now I'm told that evil Merodach was the successor and son of Nebuchadnezzar. Verse number 8, and he spake kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Wasn't that wonderful? The book of 2 Kings closes with an interesting note that tells how Jehoiachin, a former king of Judah, who had been in prison for more than 30 years in Babylon, he was free. He was freed from prison by the king of Babylon, and then was provided with an allowance from the king for the rest of his days. Some of you folk have good retirement programs, and from the point of your retirement, you have been provided a continual allowance of financial support and in some cases other benefits for the rest of your life. And that is good. That is wonderful. This magnanimous act of benevolence on the part of the king of Babylon pictures for us how God takes care of his own. After freeing us from the prison house of sin and providing us with salvation, God then provides for us spiritually as well as physically for the rest of our lives. We want to note some significant things about the provisions for Jehoiachin, which picture the provisions for God's people. Two things I'd like for us to take home with us this evening after this lesson shall have been concluded. One and foremost, the provisions were dependable. Secondly, the provisions were daily. First, let us consider that the provisions were dependable. His allowance was a continual allowance given him by the king. Notice, not just for a month or two, not just every other day, not just for a year or two, but the provisions were given continuously all the days of his life. Isn't that wonderful? The king of Babylon didn't have to make these provisions available for Jehoiachin. It was a matter of grace. It was not a matter of merit. He did not necessarily deserve these provisions. Out of the beneficent goodness of his heart, he was provided for. With our salvation, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift. It's wonderful to experience God's grace. The grace that was demonstrated toward Jehoiachin was dependable, and it was dependable in at least three ways. First, those provisions were dependable in quality. He got the good stuff. They were always from the king. They did not come from some soup kitchen on Skid Row. They came from the king. The king provides good stuff. The king provides the very best stuff. But not only were they dependable in quality, they were dependable in amount. The provisions did not go from sufficiency one day to scraps the next, but were sufficient all of the time. That's not the way sin operates. That's not the way sin behaves. Sin gives you plenty for a short period of time, then goes to scraps and starvation. But God is not that way. He adequately provides for us. We often refer to Psalm 37 and verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I have been young myself, and now am growing older. I don't think I have attained the status of I am now old. You know, some people might feel that I'm old, but I know I'm gaining in age. They say age is really just a matter of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. But all of us are consciously aware of the aging process. We note verse number 6 in one of our favorite psalms. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's going to look out for his own. You know, a lot of folks, Brother William, are getting very exercised and very concerned about what am I going to do? Lord, have mercy. What's going to happen to us? How are we going to survive? Should we leave the country? Should we go to Mexico? Should we go to Canada? Should we go to Spain or Britain or France, Austria? Should we go to Ecuador? Maybe Haiti? What are we going to do? Continue to trust the Lord. The Lord who provided for you during the last 8 years and during the last over 200 years will continue to provide for us now for the next 4 years or ever how many years. The Lord is at large and the Lord is in charge. Don't worry about who the president is. Don't worry about policies that Barack Obama is going to set in place. You know, at some schools, children are cringing in fear, wringing their hands in a newfound despair. And they brought in counselors to talk to these poor children who are worried about what the president-elect, when he becomes president, what he's going to do. Folks are talking openly about leaving this country. This is my country. I am staying right here. Little Gary is staying with me, aren't you, Gary? Well, say, all right. Do y'all see that? Thumbs up. He said, he ain't going nowhere. Yeah, I ain't going nowhere. Because I recognize that God is sovereign. God is ruler of the universe. God has all power within his hands. God sets up rulers and God brings down rulers. God overrules the rulers of the world. Now, one thing that I do intend to do that we've been doing all of the time, I do intend to pray for for our new president. I would urge you to do the same. I intend to pray for our senators. I intend to pray for our congressmen. I intend to pray for our representatives. I intend to pray for our governors and our mayors and city council persons and all persons who are in authority, for this is in keeping with and comports with the will and the word of God. But God's going to look after us. The provisions provided by the king of Babylon were dependable in amount. Thirdly, they were dependable in time. The provisions for Jehoiachin continued. How long? All the days of his life. With God providing our provisions, we can indeed affirm goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not only were the provisions dependable, but finally, the provisions were daily. They were given him of the king a daily rate for every day. Now, I have not missed a meal yet. And I don't think many of you or any of you have missed a meal. And I think if my refrigerator became barren, I believe that if my cupboard became bare, I still wouldn't have to do without, because I won't have to do without, because I know within your cupboard, I know within your refrigerator, I know within your bank account, there are ample provisions to feed poor, hungry Brother Amanzo Jones. How many of you would refuse me a meal if I really needed it? I know Clifford wouldn't. You'd feed me, wouldn't you, Cliff? Yes, sir. And I know it would be kind of a luxury and maybe a slight imposition, but if you'd also, in addition to fixing me some fried chicken or some roast and eggs and bread, if you'd fix me one of them banana split cakes as well, I'd be appreciative of it. But I believe that my provisions will be available. The provisions for King Jehoiachin were not given for a year in advance. It was a day-by-day providing. God often provides for us in the same manner. The children of Israel, y'all remember, they were given manna for 40 years in the wilderness, day-by-day. Not a week or a month, or a year at a time, but every day they had enough manna. The Bible says in Exodus 16, verse 4, then Exodus 16, 21, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. How come? Why did God arrange his special feeding program in this particular fashion, that I may prove them? This tested them. This helped them to depend more fully upon God, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Verse 21, and they gathered it every morning, day by day, every man according to his eating. If Solomon was there, and he could eat a lot more than Consuela, then he would gather enough to satisfy his appetite, and she would gather enough to satisfy her appetite. That must have been some wonderful stuff. I call it celestial cereal. And God provided it for them every day for 40 long years. They fussed. They complained. They said, we don't have no meat to eat. We missed the cucumbers and the leeks that we left back in Egypt and the melons. You've brought us out here and we don't have nothing to eat. Lying through their teeth. Everything, every nutritional element that they needed was contained in the manna. It had to be perfectly formulated because it was formulated and provided for by the great God of glory. I wish I could eat me a bowl of it every morning. It was good for them. Christ taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. In the Lord's Prayer, or the sample prayer, Matthew 6 and verse 11. Coming daily teaches us to look daily to him for our supplies. You see, it teaches us to put our faith in our Savior, not in our surpluses. The provisions given to King Jehoiachin were dependable. They were daily. The provisions provided for us by God on a physical level as well as on a spiritual level are dependable. They are daily. We can count on God. You know, we talked about the angels in heaven rejoicing at the beginning of our lesson. If there's somebody here this evening who stands a guilty distance from the Lord and who would like to cause heaven to rejoice this evening, I'd like to encourage you to take the proper remedial measures to bring your life back into alignment with the will of God. Through repentance, confession, and prayer, that can be done. Will you come right now as we together stand and as we...